Welcome to Reading the Grid with Aaron and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. Today, we're stepping off the track and into the theater for our official race review of F1, the 2025 movie starring Brad Pitt as Sonny Hayes, a former Formula One prodigy who left the sport after a devastating crash in the 1990s and is coaxed back by his old teammate turned team owner to salvage their struggling Apex GP squad by mentoring a hot-headed rookie, reigniting past rivalries and rediscovering purpose in a comeback story that blends action, nostalgia, and Hollywood drama. For those who have not seen the movie, we will be getting into detail about storyline, plot, and actual events that took place. So if you have not seen it and do not want to hear, this is your spoiler warning.
Also, we will be highlighting all the Easter eggs, so be warned.
Yes. Ina, based on our initial discussion, we have different takeaways from the movie. Looking back at the film, what did the movie get right in your eyes?
My overall impression in terms of what the movie got right, the F1 racing scenes, those were extremely well done. I absolutely loved, especially if you've seen the movie on IMAX, how visceral your reaction to those scenes would have been
You
because,
felt like you were in the movie in
yeah,
IMAX.
exactly. And I think we'll later go into some of the more questionable turns that these racing scenes took. But for the most part, they were based on actual racing scenes. And that authenticity, I think, lent to my enjoyment of the F1 scenes. They were incredible. Even though, again, we're going to get into the quibbles of what they didn't get right. But overall, you felt like you were in the races because they were filming it at the races. They actually show you some of the events that take place at the race weekend. And they didn't show them in such detail that you get bored. At least I wasn't. But it was just very cool to see, oh, yeah, they show you that there's going to be a national anthem. There's going to be a pit walk. Like all of these little things that lead up to the races to build up excitement, I thought were very well done. I'm glad they were included and I was in it. So I absolutely, anything to do with racing in this movie, even including the 24 Hours of Daytona, which is the racing scenes in the beginning of the movie that have nothing to do with F1, were really exciting and really propelled you into the action of the movie. If we go into the movie in general, I thought all of the actors were really good. They got amazing performers to participate in the movie. So, in terms of everything they were asked to do, I thought they did to the best of their abilities. And another thing I thought they got really right is just some of the touches that I never got to see, but it was almost behind the scenes nuggets, I think, for F1 fans. And what I mean is, for instance, they actually show how wind tunnel worked, and it looked very futuristic, except it was authentic because the movie used Williams wind tunnel, and FIA actually monitors the time and how the movie production used it. So it looked absolutely spectacular and not anything that I expected to see in the movie. Aaron, what about you?
I went into the movie honestly with zero expectation, which was really difficult to put my head in that mindset because I have been a fan of F1. I obviously like F1, but I really went in as blank as I could. I didn't know what to expect. I just wanted to be able to have a good time and enjoy the movie. And I did. I saw the movie in IMAX, and my head was equating it to when I go to the movie theater to see Mission Impossible or something like that. That's where my expectations hovered as far as what was going to come out of this. And I feel like it met those expectations. There was a lot of action, It was exciting, you know, how they filmed some of those race scenes. It was really cool seeing the inside of the car and more of their steering wheel and how it reads. You saw more of it in the movie than you typically do in a race. You sometimes catch a glimpse of it. I loved the wind tunnel. I thought that was awesome. As far as overall enjoyment, I enjoyed it. It was a fun summer movie. Did they get everything right? No, not even close. I really didn't have expectation that they would, but I thought it was a fun movie.
Well, now that we went through what we liked, I think we can look at it from a critical perspective. And specifically, I think we should examine portrayal of women in the movie. Now, that unfortunately was not as successful as I thought it could be. For instance, Kate, the main female heroine of the movie. Although obviously she was not the main character of the movie, holds multiple roles within the team. And that I think was empowering to see because the realistic side of F1 kind of makes sense for her to have that many jobs because it's a small team. They're, we'll get a.
Financially scrapped for cash, like
And we're
people wear
going to just.
multiple hats, and that correlates
Right, and we're going to discuss their financial situation, which fluctuates throughout the movie. But in that
quite a bit.
particular aspect, I think that is actually believable, and it's really impressive that it was a woman who nobody questioned, was she up to the job? Everyone respected her. She was well treated within the team. So all of those aspects of her character, I appreciated.
Totally agree.
Unfortunately, I think her portrayal was undermined by a couple of things, and all of them are wrapped into propping up Sonny, Brad Pitt's character, as the guru who could save the team in every aspect. So, not just as a driver, not just as a strategist, which is partly her job, not as the mentor for Joshua Pierce, but also in solving the design flaw in the car. And that, again, it was not a major plot point, but it did undermine, I believe, it undermined her job because after he solved that brilliant, after he
Make
displayed
sure
this,
I can drive behind dirty air.
right,
Pretty
which
much
is,
what every engineer for any
right,
car tries to solve for anyway.
exactly. But apparently that was news to her. And once she solved it, they kept calling her former design a S box. And I just felt it was unnecessary. And yes, that's what the car ha goes through. It's funny that they actually showed that. The car develops throughout the season. So that's what it's supposed to do. It starts as one thing, and you hope it gets to be better and better and better. And sometimes your developments work, sometimes they don't. And so to show that, oh my God, he's brilliant. Insight is what made this car amazing. And it was only to him. And she, with all her experience, degrees, ability to think outside the box, just could not see the forest through the trees. So that really grated on me. The other thing that I thought was completely unnecessary was her romantic subplot with Sonny. I think it undermines, again, her position because she just becomes, you know, this woman who's now romantically in love with this man. So anytime he experiences a crash and he's hurt, like suddenly her reaction becomes a lot more
More
extreme than
personal. Yeah.
exactly,
Way
which again, I
personal.
makes sense in the story, but I just wish, like, I felt like it was not necessary at all. And the fact, again, that she is the main female character just made it, you know, similar to what you would see in other Hollywood movies, whereas you could have just had her as this competent professional. And yes, there could have been flirtation. I'm not saying they should have not even, you know, had any
I
interaction
mean,
that
can
was
you
not
have
unprofessional.
a Hollywood movie without some sort of love story? I mean, really?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could have been
I know.
flirtation. It didn't have to, like, we didn't have to spend more time. We didn't have to see them get together. We didn't have, like, there was a lot spent on it, which I didn't think had enough of a payoff, and it really undermined her character.
I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I liked how her initial interaction when they were having a beer, she was a little feisty with him and didn't just agree right out of the box. I was like, oh, way to go. Good for you. I do appreciate that if they were going to have a love interest, it was with someone age appropriate with Brad Pitt, not like a 20-year-old, even though I say age appropriate with like air quotes around it.
Yes. So I just want to say that obviously Brad Pitt looks younger than his years, although they do mention his age in the movie, which is another one of my pet peeves that we didn't have to
They
make
didn't
him as
have to do
old.
that.
Yes.
No, they could have gotten away with a little more elusiveness on the age.
Correct. And also, Carrie Condon, who plays Kate, is 43. So she is 20 years younger than Brad Pitt. So age appropriate, I agree with you. At least it's not a 20-year-old.
In general, I loved her character that they were giving her so much power and credit. I thought that was really great. I'm glad she was able to prove everyone wrong. I do agree with you that I didn't quite see it that way at first glance of watching the movie because, again, I really wasn't going very technical into the story. I was keeping it more 30,000 feet. And it's passable. Like, it's not the greatest. It doesn't make a ton of sense. I was there more for the race scenes. There's so many different fans going into watching this movie. You have, like, the girl who sat next to me had no interest in F1 at all. She was just there for Brad Pitt. But then the couple on the other side of me, they were diehard F1 fans because their daughter was an F1 fan and travels around to see the different races. So you have all types coming to see the movie. And so, for a director to try to appease technical fans, you have diehard fans, you have fans that have no idea what racing is. So, I think there's a little something for everybody. And the general gist that seems to be the main thing is everyone enjoyed the race scenes, how the movie was filmed, it was engaging in that way. As we break down these character flaws, yes, there are huge opportunities for what the writers could have done with Kate. And I agree, they were flirty. They could have left it at flirty. If they were going to have a relationship, it might have been better to make it look more than just a one-night stand. And I guess that's what they tried to do at the end when he was like, I was going to say, see you later, but can I see you again? You know, it was too much of a stretch. Even I didn't buy that one. I'm like, did we really need to add this in?
No, you took the words out of my mouth. But one thing I just want to say, you know the adage, if you try to please everyone, you please no one. So I feel there is a little bit of that in the movie. Also, one other thing about somebody who comes in for a Brad Pitt movie, totally get it. I just want to say Brad Pitt has been in a lot of better movies than this. Because he can actually act. So in this movie, he wasn't asked to stretch far. He was just acting like any you would expect Brad Pitt role to be, and he did it well. It just was
He
not
did.
much of a stretch.
Well, I would also say, I mean, think about where Brad Pitt is in life. You know, he just finalized his divorce from Angelina Jolie. It's an action movie. What boy, I'm going to say boy because he is like a man child at the age of 60. What man doesn't want to go 200 miles an hour in an F1 car? And if you have a chance as an actor to get to do that, I'd take the movie. You know, I mean, I get
No,
it.
no dispute about that. He definitely, I get why he was attracted to this movie. But, and remember, his production company was also part of the production of this movie. I think, again, if I were him, I would probably be more invested in having a better story, even for showcasing what he wanted to showcase. But I agree, in terms of racing, this movie fit the bill, I think, for all kinds of fans. I do want to mention one other female character because literally there were only three. But one other that was, well, so there was Joshua Pierce's mother. Did she even get a name? Is it just Mrs.
I
Pierce?
think it's just Mrs. Pierce.
In any case, she was great. She didn't have much to do, but what she did, she got the
She was
humor.
strong.
She did the, stoic, very concerned parent. Whatever she was asked to do very little. Maybe a lot of it was left on the cutting room floor, but I
Maybe
think
the only
that.
thing she really th seemed to do was threaten Brad Pitt really well after Pierce was in the
Right.
hospital.
So that got me thinking, like, she could have done more. That's my point. Like, I think she was capable of doing more. The third character that's a female in this movie is this pit crew, female pit crew member. Thank you, Erin, for telling me her name was Jodie because did not register in the movie, which is fine. Like, we didn't need any more characters. I think we had too many. But the problem with Jodie is that they show her making a mistake that causes the pit stop in the beginning of Brad Pitt's, or sorry, Sonny Hayes. Every time I think of his character, I want to call him Brad Pitt because it's such a Brad Pitt performance. But anyway, during the Sonny's first, was it Sonny's or Joshua's first, whatever first pit stop they showed in F1 was a complete disaster. And they showed very clearly that it was Jodie's mistake. She's not a big character. She retreats into the background. Sonny Hayes stands up for her and she basically tells them privately never to do this again because she wants to fit in and become a member of the team. And towards the end, it's shown that she's integral and very much enmeshed in the team. And so their pit stops are becoming like clockwork, which is all great. But it just really bothered me that they spent so much time showing that it was her mistake and then did not spend as much time having a redemption story for her. I mean, they kind of imply it, but it's very messy. I don't think it's necessary. And they could have shown that this team is not gelling, and that's why that pit stop mistake happened. It's not necessarily her fault, but obviously, since she's on the team, part of it is her problem to solve. But the fact that they made it very clear it's her mistake and then just did not do much with her character, I thought was a missed opportunity for the
I know you love an arc, and I will say this was
movie.
a very loose arc, but I do think they tried to allude to it. And looking back on this movie, there is so much suspension of disbelief, and the viewer is intended to fill in a lot of the gaps because there's so much going on with the movie and characters and all of that. I would surmise that her making the mistake, defending herself to Brad, to Sonny Hayes,
You're doing
I'm doing it too.
it too
Defending herself, which I gave her kudos. I was watching the movie. I'm like, good for you. Way to stand up for yourself. But then, you know, she's leading the runs and she's in the runs and she's always there from the start. So to me, if I were to make leaps and jumps from the trail that they laid, I think they were trying to do that. Could they have done a better job? Yes, they could have. They could have added a couple other scenes or lines into it. But I do think the gist was they went from she made a mistake, she learned from her mistake, she got really good, their pit stops got so much better, and she was a key from the start to gel the team through at the end. So I don't think they did a good job doing it. I could follow some popcorn kernels to get there, which is not what I like to do when watching a movie, but.
Right. And you're right, because the storyline is so predictable, you could totally do the kernels to the crumbs. But I think my point is, why did it have to be the woman on the pit crew that made the mistake? She's already a fish out of water because there's not that many female pit crew members.
Right.
Again, there's
Yeah,
only literally
like
three
the
women and the
token
woman.
female on the pit crew is the one
Yeah.
who messed it up. But I actually thought, based on a look that was exchanged between the two of them, that they were going to put a romantic storyline between her and Pierce. And I was really grateful that they didn't, because I thought that would have undermined her character even more on top of the pit stop mistake. I'm grateful they didn't go down that path.
I agree with you because I think that would have been disastrous because the only two women on the team get involved with other members of the team.
Yeah,
That
that just is
just,
messy and
it's.
unrealistic. On the topic of unrealistic, there is a fair amount of things that they obviously missed. And for me, the tricky, frustrating. I can't really find the right word for it. You had Lewis Hamilton, who was so involved. I think for fans, there was the expectation that there was going to be so many things that were accurately representative of F1 in the movie. I personally was surprised how many things were inaccurate for a movie about F1 when it was supposed to be about F1. But then on the flip side of it, like if they were going for pure entertainment value for the racing scenes, they got that right. It seems the other F1 movies, the storylines are really strong because they're based on true stories. Their racing scenes are minimal because they haven't had the technology to do it. For this one, they built technology to capture these racing scenes, but they totally floundered on the storyline part.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And if we can go into some of the examples of that. For instance, the one I've seen commonly cited is that they ignore qualifying.
Yes, completely.
Which is, again, for this movie, seriously, do we need another hour?
No, that would be difficult to pack into this.
It would be. But it's a glaring omission that I think anyone who is not familiar with F1 then decides to check out F1. Boy, are they in for a surprise, because there's this whole other mini competition that happens before the race.
Well, yes. And in that scenario, we're going to hope that all of those new people find our podcast, because that's what we're here for.
I completely agree. The other one, I love the ending in Abu Dhabi when Sunny Hayes shows up without doing any practices. And qualifying.
Now, this is very nuanced, and most people would not get this. But in general, yes, it was pretty outrageous. He just shows up and gets in a car and races.
But can I just challenge you on that one thing? Because you know how it's easy for them to fix it? All they had to do was not put the line that they put of Crofty and Brundle saying he missed all practices and qualifying.
See, I missed that line from Crofty and Brundle
But the thing is, like, when I saw him appearing, for all I knew, it was right before qualifying. So
right.
You see how to, like, in my head, as you said, I had kernels that I built a narrative that made sense.
And you were following suspension of disbelief and rolling with it.
Yeah. And then that line, and I'm like, wait a second, you have not mentioned qualifying this entire movie. And the one time it does not serve your purpose, decide to mention it.
Well, I will say they definitely missed a lot. I thought they dazzled with the cinematography, storytelling, although a lot of these inaccuracies that we're touching on now, most of these will really only stand out to seasoned fans. I think some new fans, but someone's watching this movie with absolutely no context, this is going to go straight over their head. But my favorite miss was the Parc Fermé in the garage. No. No, all around. This is not even close to what Parc Fermé is, the restrictions, how that was completely ignored.
Yeah, fair.
That was one of my favorite ones. And then the other one that really chafed me was the partying in Vegas. No driver is going out partying the night before a race until like 2 a.m.
Well, I completely agree with you, except do you remember in one of our episodes reviewing Drive to Survive, we mentioned George Russell.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. Okay.
Yeah, yes. George Russell talking to Lando Norris and saying there is somebody on the grid who does party in between sessions. And remember, Lando even said, like, he was like showing that
it's definitely not him.
And Russell confirmed it's not him. And it's interesting because Joshua Pierce actually reminds me the way that he's portrayed more as a Lando Norris type.
Yeah.
And at that time, we were flabbergasted.
Trying to figure out who would do that.
Who would on the grid currently would risk it? But apparently, according to George Russell, who may not be reliable, because we also agreed that George could have just said it just to throw a bomb there and see what goes off.
But
it's possible, but I agree with you. It's completely unlikely. And again, something that's for the movie so easy to do after the race, right? Like they didn't have to do it in between sessions. Also, I think it's highly implausible of this fan asking Joshua Pierce, oh, can you introduce me to Carlos Sainz? I'm like, hello, have you seen what's in front of you?
I
Like, I agree with
know.
you.
Let's
Carlos
appreciate the
Sainz
current
is,
view.
yeah, Carlos Sainz is yummy, but if he's not there and he's not available, there you go.
You have a very attractive man in front of you who also drives an F1 car. Let's not be too
Exactly.
picky here.
That's way too picky.
Jeez.
They filmed it during 2023 and 2024 seasons. And the inaccuracies of the liveries, not inaccuracies, the mismatch of the liveries, I mean, I didn't actually find it horrific. I just found it funny because you do see it because some liveries undergone a lot of changes. Like for instance, Red Bull is always the same color scheme, so I don't even notice that. Ferrari were different reds. So hilariously, especially in Abu Dhabi, the last race, you can go from scene to scene and suddenly that Ferrari changes colors. Aaron, I have a question for you. How many teams were on the grid?
There are supposed to be 10, but I think at times I counted 11 to 12.
Yeah, exactly. So when they showed official standings of the team, Apex was always 10. So you got to think it's the worst car, so it's 10th. And yet, when Sonny lines up on his first race there, he is the 22nd driver. I'm like, so there's 11 teams.
11 teams.
So that was funny. But the other sloppiness that I thought they could have easily fixed is that when they show abbreviations of driver's name as Sonny and Pierce keep moving up, they don't abbreviate it the same way they abbreviate all the other drivers' names, or the way that the drivers' names are abbreviated in Formula One, which is the first three letters.
Of their
In
last name.
Hayes
Yeah,
and
I don't know how
Pierce,
they missed this.
yeah, they just abbreviate by the consonants. I get it. It's a very easy mistake to make, especially if you're not familiar, but it's so easy to fix in post-production that I just felt that just was a little sloppy. Not a big deal, but very sloppy.
No, I agree. My marketing brain loved all the product placement Easter eggs. Most, if not all, of the partners that sponsor F1 made their way into the movie or the official premiere. We'll get into the Easter eggs in a few minutes, but there were so many fantastic cameos of real life drivers. Because the movie was filmed during the 2024 season, all of the drivers make it into the movie. So you see Daniel Ricciardo, Sergio Perez, Lewis still at Mercedes, Carlos and Ferrari. So I thought that was really fun. Out of the cameos that I'm going to share, I'll give you three at a time. We can narrow it down to the best groupings. We saw Gunter Steiner, Toto Wolff, and Roscoe. Out of those three, who is your best cameo?
I mean, Roscoe was just to see Roscoe, but
I know.
let's just be honest, he didn't do much. Toto, I mean, it was great to see him. He actually got a line.
He had some lines at the end. They were a little awkward,
Yeah,
but.
again, he was a little stiff. Toto could have just been his Toto self, and that would have been fine. So I'm gonna have to give it to Gunther because he was the most authentic. I
Well, yeah.
absolutely he loved his m mouthing WTF, and he has great timing. He did it appropriate. And if your exposure to Gunther before that was Drive to Survive, you got the Gunther experience in such a tiny cameo. It encapsulated his entire persona. So I thought that was the most authentic, and I laughed when I saw
Oh,
it.
I laughed out loud when he did that. Okay, so your next grouping, Max's middle finger, Stefano Domenicali, and then Fernando Alonso patting Sonny on the back after the crash gate-like strategy.
It's not even close. It's Alonso patting Sonny in the back because, by the way, we didn't talk about any inaccuracies about crash gate strategies, but that's insane. That's the biggest scandal, the last biggest scandal that caused some people temporarily to be banned for life. was used as a viable strategy that could have been used over and over again with no penalties, nothing. Oh, by the way, we also did not mention that. I don't know, Hassani got his super license, but I guess if you don't have a license, you can't have penalty points on that license. So I follow that logic. But in any case, Alonso, very famously, was at least the beneficiary of Crashgate and may have had some involvement in Crashgate. So the fact that after showing the race where Sonny employed that strategy over and over again, you have Alonso patting Sonny on the back. Either he was in on it and he's much bolder than I give him credit to, or Lewis Hamilton decided to suggest something to have a subtle dig at Alonso.
I think Alonso would love it. Hopefully one day we'll get a chance to find out. Okay, your last round. Zach Brown and Fred Vasseur, both with speaking lines. Will Buxton. There's a lot of Will Buxton. Crofty and Brundle. And then Christian Horner.
So Will Buxton is the worst.
Yes.
Like of all.
That's not even. Just,
because he's not in doing F1 commentary anymore.
Well, he was at the time. Now this year he's doing IndyCar.
Right. So there was way too much and not necessary. Can I split Zach and Fred? They were actually filming in the room when they do Tim Principal press conferences. The same person who interviews them was there. And the question posed to Fred was, what do you think of Apex's, I don't know, progression, development? His answer was, we don't think about him, or a variation of that. It was deadpan. It was so Fred.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. So that he wins hands down.
Okay. All right. So out of the three, then, if you had to pick best cameo of the movie between Gunter, Alonso, or Fred, who are you going to give this illustrious award to?
I still would give it to Gunter. I mean, Alonso is very close.
His was hard to beat. He was so spot on with his head coming off the pit wall.
No, that was just... Like, that's the thing. That's what I wanted the movie to be.
Yeah.
Short encapsulation of all the best of F1.
It was really good. You mentioned Easter eggs. There were a number of Easter eggs throughout the movie. We talked about Crashgate. I was intrigued by the superstition and rituals of Sonny Hayes. So before each race, he would put his watch by the photo, put a card in his pocket, and he never touched the trophy, which that one I still just find bizarre. So it got me thinking about, you know, drivers and superstitions of the ones on the grid. Do you know of any, or would you like me to share a few of what I found?
Yes, please share a few. I think they all have something.
Do,
the
right?
Only one that comes to mind is that I know that Charles Leclerc always takes a nap right before national anthem. And it's hilarious because every time he's always running. And sometimes, again, thank you to Drive to Survive, they show you like the interaction right before the start of the anthem. It's like, oh, so like you look like you just woke up. He's like, I just woke up. So that's just, and again, I don't know if it's a ritual superstition, but I just know that that's a common theme with him. But
so
what have you found out?
That Hamilton has a pre-race meditation. Verstappen has some quirks about seating and wheel setup. And then Sainz and Alonso have certain dressing rituals. I don't quite know exactly what they are, but I'm not surprised that they each have their own quirks and routine.
Yeah, so we always talk about the tennis to F1 comparisons. One of the things that I know is that Bjorn Borg famously won French Open and Wimbledon 5 times in a row. At that time that he was playing, it was insanely hard to do because completely different services and only 2 weeks between these events. Bjorn Borg did absolutely everything the same way that he did the first time he won those two. Meaning he stayed in the same crappy hotel. He ate the same crappy food. Even though he became rich and famous, he lived the same poor journeyman style that he did the first time he won them, all the years he won. So I totally understand why, especially very dedicated athletes, have these rituals that they feel help them attain the same result that they've attained other times before. Although for Alonso, I'm surprised. Like, you would think he would change a few of them.
You would think. Did you ever watch any of the Ocean 11, any of the
Yes,
Ocean's movies?
all of them.
Okay, so did you notice Reuben? There, we had a Reuben.
Yep.
We also had playing cards because Rusty Ryan, which was Pitt's character in the movie, he was always playing with playing cards. I am very curious to see if any of the tattoos that he had in the F1 movie match any of the tattoos from the Ocean movies, and then his sunglasses. So I feel like there are some subtle nods, not to mention the Vegas Strip to Brad Pitt and his Ocean character.
Fair, but you know, one of the best things about Ocean 11, so that was the movie that made me like Brad Pitt. So until I saw Ocean 11, I never liked him. I
Oh,
thought
well,
he was
good thing he produced
overrated.
that movie.
Yeah, I thought he was overrated. I acknowledge he's good looking, but it just never did anything for me. So, and I didn't know why watching Ocean's 11 made me like him. Well, what I found out is apparently during the making of the movie, somebody told Brad Pitt that if he eats in a scene, it makes him more likable. So he made
Oh.
sure to eat in every scene. And damn if that did not work.
Well,
Totally worked
it
on
worked
me.
on you.
It worked on me. So I've liked him since Ocean's 11 because he ate in every scene.
We saw a lot of nuggets in the credits. You want to highlight some of your favorites?
Sure. Well, of course, I think our personal favorite was Roscoe, that he's got
Roscoe.
his own credit, which is amazing.
I hope the Academy decides to recognize him when award season rolls out next year.
They could have a size appropriate, bone as a Oscar
I
present.
agree. Yes.
Yep. Then there was also a gratitude credit to Martin Donnelly. He was the F1 driver from the 90s whose accident inspired Sonny's accident, and there was actual footage in the movie being used of that accident. So I thought that was, I mean, obviously they had to have his permission, but I thought it was nice that they very prominently gave him credit. I also thought it was very nice that all drivers on the 2023 and 2024 grid were listed, and that included two people who are no longer in F1. Well, a lot of people who are no longer
There's
in
a lot of
F1.
people now.
But the two that I thought didn't make much of a statement in Formula One,
Yeah.
which is Logan Sargeant and Nick DeVries. So Nick DeVries only lasted 8 races, and Logan Sargeant was so scarred that he left motorsports completely. So I hope
Yeah.
seeing their names in the credits give them some kind of validation that, yes, I was an F1 and I was
They're
acknowledged as such.
memorialized in the sport forever. I thought that was a pretty neat thing that the movie did for them.
Absolutely. There was also a credit for Simone Ashley, who very famously was completely deleted from the movie, and she was the love interest of Joshua Pierce. There, she was credited as Self, and I know I didn't see her, but Aaron, you spotted her.
I did. Can't remember what race in the movie it was. But she passed by in front of a garage. She
Okay.
was in the crowd of people, but I remember seeing her. So she makes the briefest of cameos in the movie.
Makes sense. And finally, there were two trademark notices in the credits. One, of course, was for F1 itself, and the other one was for Ferrari.
Sorry. Yay, Scuderia. All right. If you were to wrap up your thoughts on this movie, what would you have to say?
It was an enjoyable and fun popcorn movie, but the storyline was muddled. There was very little character development, and the dialogue was full of cliches and predictable. However, the action was exciting and exhilarating. There was fun cameos, as we just outlined, but I was a little disappointed that we saw so little of our drivers and none of them had any lines. However, based on the performances of Charles Leclerc and George Russell on the podium in the last race, maybe that was for the best.
I did see that Brad Pitt actually said Pierre Gasly had the most natural knack for acting.
Well, then he should have been on the podium because I didn't see much from him.
Well, based on the last scene of the movie, which we didn't really talk about Abu Dhabi because I was still having PTSD and flashbacks from the actual Abu Dhabi 2021, I think because Russell was taken out, Hamilton put him up on the podium, and his new teammate was going to be Charles Leclerc. So it was like old teammate, new teammate, and they were both horrendous actors of theirs.
Oh, so
Painful.
unnatural. But
No.
actually, good thing you brought up your PTSD, because I cannot believe that Lewis Hamilton made himself take the lead in an Abu Dhabi race and then be taken out. That's got to be a therapy session that we're still working out. And then I also want to say,
Probably.
in terms of what inspired them, did Flavio Briatore have some writing input? Because again, some of their strategy was out of his playbook. But I think everyone, whether you're an F1 fan or not, will enjoy the visuals. And I definitely think it will be easier for non-fans to suspend disbelief than true F1 fans. I just want to say the one thing that I personally took offense to was the fact the one line they had about Drive to Survive was a really derogatory, because it was the only supposed villain of the piece who said that he knows all about tire strategy because he watches Drive to Survive. By the way, that is not true. You will not learn
No.
anything about tire strategy by watching Drive to Survive. But I thought it was said as a jokey, like, look how I'm into F1 because I watched Drive to Survive. So I didn't appreciate it. Didn't think it was necessary. And by the way, Drive to Survive knows how to do an arc.
They do. They tell a great story, which is part of why we're here telling our story. I will say, visually, F1 was stunning. I thought the race sequences were fantastic. I liked the soundtrack. I thought it added the right pulse in the right places. It is definitely not perfect, as we mentioned, but I do think it strikes a solid enough balance. It's accessible for newcomers. It's enjoyable for longtime fans. I went in, as I said, with zero technical expectations and came out entertained by the action, the energy, and how the race scenes were filmed. It really felt like Mission Impossible meets Formula One. I thoroughly enjoyed the ride and my popcorn through this summer blockbuster.
If you've seen F1 the movie, we want to hear from you. Did it live up to the hype? Did Brad Pitt channel the spirit of a real driver, or did the Hollywood gloss get in the way? Let us know your thoughts on social media.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
We'd also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your favorite movie scene. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.